بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All in the name of Allah, in whose name we celebrate our mornings, and in whose name we celebrate our evenings. Glory be to Him. To Him belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. We prove our loyalty for Him and we put our blind trust in Him. And we confirm and proclaim that there is no God besides Him. It is He who we love and it is He who we worship and it is He who we take Him as our gracious Master. To Him we are His humble slaves. We show our contentment in all His decree and destiny and His decisions. We bear patience on His trials and we thank Him for all the favors that He has allowed us to enjoy. Peace and blessings, greetings and salutations be upon our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May I kindly request every member of the audience, let us all read Salat ala Nabi 10 times. Remind ourselves of the role of our holy Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد 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 برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Yes, there are some activities in the Ummah that Ummah has overemphasized. They have hyped up the concept. There are a number of issues. I would like to confirm with you all that the reward of Salat ala Nabi is not a cultural issue. It's not an issue where a certain group of people and a certain party, a certain sect of Islam has overemphasized its importance. You know, you might argue why Salat ala Nabi, Salat ala Nabi, Salat ala Nabi. Is this a Pakistani thing? An Asian thing? Or is it generally this is Sharia? Then I would like you to know that recitation of Salat ala Nabi in abundance has strongly been recommended by our Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam through authentic ahadith. Now here many times some can debate, the hadith are weak, the hadith are these. But when it comes to Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam and Salat ala Nabi on him, अच्छा आप काम के लिए आए हो, this is proven from authentic hadith. Now مثلاً من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله عليه بها عشرة, whoever shall send Durood Sharif once, in other words, he will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam and for his mercy, then in return he will attract 10 mercies from Allah. Now this is a very authentic hadith. One day one sahabi asks him, O Prophet of Allah, how much salat ala nabi do I read? And he said, quarter? He said, yes. If quarter, in other words, quarter part of my wazifa, I spend so much time in zikr, azkar, Quran and so on. Within that time, what portion of my wazifa should I be spending in Salat ala Nabi? So he said, quarter? He said, yes, fine, quarter is good. But if you do it more, it's better for you. So he said half, he said one third. Because one third is good also, but if you increase, then it's better for you. He said half, he said yes, even a half if you do it, then fine, it's good for you. But if you increase, it's even better for you. So he said, what about if I dedicate my entire time for Salat ala Nabi? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in that case, you will never suffer any grief in the dunya. Now this is again an authentic hadith. Lots of Salat ala Nabi has been recommended. On Fridays, he alayhi salatu wassalam has specifically said that especially on Friday, read lots of Salat ala Nabi, because Malaika are there. And most probably when Malaika are there, Quran says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ, that one of the big ibadat they do as well is they read Salat ala Nabi. Therefore, if they are here, let's share the same ibadat together. In other words, assembly of celebration of Salat ala Nabi. So if there is any misconception here in this department, then let's clear it up that Salat ala Nabi is not a hyped up issue. You know, sometimes people can be emotional and due to their emotions, they may be inventing things. Like today said, people have done that out of exaggerated love for Nabi alayhi salam. Out of exaggerated love for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they have invented a number of materialistic activities. For example, baking cakes as big as a truck. And there are lots of other examples without going into the nitty-gritty and offending anybody. You know, this celebration of Milad, I'm sorry, this is not my really subject, but this is something that you will be discussing. And there will be lots of now messages, you should, you shouldn't, and what is right and what is wrong. There will be lots of discussion as such. I would like you to know that it's amazing Prophet sallallahu alayhi, everything has been recorded. Even his private life has been recorded. His bedroom life has been recorded. Quite strangely. Which nobody knows about my private bedroom life and your private bedroom life. Yet Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's private bedroom life to a certain degree, right, is public. Right, through authentic hadith. Now the whole wisdom is Allah wanted his even private life to be the role model for people. And hence his private life is also public. Yet it's quite strange where everything has been documented. When exactly he alayhi salatu wasalam was born, till this day, this is not verified and confirmed. Yani even there is a vast difference of opinion in the month as well. Generally it is believed Rabiul Awwal. That's a general consensus. However, there is an opinion, no, it wasn't Rabiul Awwal, it was so and so month. A great deal of difference of opinion on the date. Whether it was the 8th, whether it was the 9th, whether it was the 11th, whether it was the 12th. Yes, within those days is whatever, whenever it was Monday. Within those days, within the second week of Rabiul Awwal. This is generally what is understood. And it has never been celebrated throughout centuries or even in his lifetime. Nobody asked him and he never said, today is my birthday. If he would have said on any occasion, today is my birthday, then we know that, oh right, today is Rabiul Awwal, so and so date, that's the date, birthday of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He's never mentioned. Neither he's mentioned that I was born in Rabiul Awwal. Neither is mentioned what year. The only maximum he said about his birth is that I was born on a Monday. This is pretty strange. His arrival, there is no bigger and greater arrival than the arrival of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the world. Yet out of wisdom, under the wisdom that only Allah knows, that his birthday still today remains as a mystery. And it remains as a mystery because neither in his time nor in the time of Sahaba, nor in the time of Tabi'in, not in the time of Tabi'i Tabi'in, this was ever celebrated. Why? Because in those glorious days, it was all about his mission, what he came for. And there was just focus on that. The focus was on the mission. The focus was on his true love, which consumed the whole year, which extended to the whole year. It wasn't just like restricted to a certain period of time in the year. It was after many centuries that this got started, celebration of Rabiul Awwal. But again, question is whether the beginning of celebration of Rabi'ul Awwal and his Milad is a good thing or a bad thing. That maybe we discuss next. But there are a number of things that did not exist in the time of Nabi alayhi salam. But later on, people felt the need and they introduced. For example, in the time of Nabi alayhi salam, after he alayhi salam, the Sahaba, whenever they wanted to ask a question, they would go to learned Sahaba, any. There wasn't a particular that some people only followed Hazrat Ali and some people only followed Umar and Abu Bakr and so on. Whenever they just found out any scholar, whatever they wanted to ask, they would ask them and they would follow. There was no such thing as only following one specific individual, which is called taqleed. Taqleed means what? Following a certain person. There was no such thing as taqleed of one person only. But later on, after about 200 years later, there was a need that if we just allow people, right, to go and refer to anyone who they feel as a scholar, then chances are people will be collecting mixed information, number one, and number two, people will be mixing and matching with things, suiting their desires and their whims. Let me keep on asking multiple scholars until somebody gives me the license of being halal and permissibility. So there was a fresh need of saying, only follow certain scholars who the whole world accept are regarded as renowned scholars of Quran, Hadith and Fiqh and Usul al-Fiqh. So now there was a fresh need of only following a certain imam. Now there was a need of only following one and not just any. That didn't exist in the time of Sahaba. It didn't exist in the time of even after Sahaba. Now this is for the benefit of safeguarding the deen and safeguarding our own deen in personal lives. So we're not just picking and choosing between schools of thought and between opinions. In the same way, so many years went by without celebration of Milad. But now, by now, there was a lot of degeneration and deterioration in the love for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And now there was a need of creating a platform to revive the love for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. This is how it started. So in the Rabiul Awwal, what would the early scholars do? They would have lots of Salat ala Nabi. They would run seminars, right, on Seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, promoting knowledge on Seerah, on his lifestyle. There will be lots of emphasis on practicing the Sunnah. There will be lots of majlis of Salat ala Nabi. And the whole point was to revive the love, the true love and the real love for Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and to revive the Sunnah. This is how it started. All with good intention, all with only acceptable spiritual practices which were helpful on individual basis and on a collective basis. Whilst today there will be many, whilst today the issue is very much debatable, whether you should or you shouldn't. I personally feel in a society where today is all about love for celebrities, where you know your celebrities in and out, and the celebrities are wrong celebrities, celebrities of shaitan, celebrities of evil, celebrities of taghut. And there is so much jahalat and ignorance about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because you don't have enough knowledge about it, then the love, we cannot actually attach to him, because the knowledge isn't there. We cannot connect ourselves with him. Now with football, with each player, you know them so well because you're following them on a daily basis. On a daily, weekly basis, you're following them so much. So yes, you watch and you follow and everything, and you continue liking it and liking it and liking it. Why? Because you're following so much. You have already got so much knowledge. Whereas this is absent with regards to our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that there is no knowledge, there is no following, right? What did he say? What did he say? What did he used to do? What did he used to do? What did he used to say? There isn't any following, hence we are drifting away from his love, from attachment with him. So we sit here and we say, yes. There isn't that real love, the boiling love inside, as we have for our own biological father, as we would have for our own children, because the attachment is not there. Otherwise, even if you keep a dog for a while, then you fall in love with them. Not love, but at least you become very attached with them, even with a dog, with any pet. The reason why this is absent in our life, is because the attachment is not there. We're not attached to him. We don't know him. Looking at these circumstances, yes, there is a fresh need of pushing this love, bringing it out in public. Sometimes, somehow revive, somehow take any opportunity, any reason, any excuse to revive it. I feel like that myself. This is my personal opinion. That yes, take this opportunity, and not necessarily Rabiul Awwal. Take any opportunity, Zilhaj, Ramadan, Shaban, any other opportunity. Or even throughout the whole year. But in specifically Rabiul Awwal, because yes, it's in people's heads that this is where he was when he was born. So take that opportunity while still afresh. While people are still attached with the occasion. So take that opportunity. And yes, revive that love. Motivate people. But however, what's important? That you celebrate in not for material reasons. This is very, very delicate and sensitive part. You know, awam and public, they're very much ignorant, most of them. Public, very ignorant. It's so easy for shaitan to make us fall into material celebrations, into entertaining celebration. He can easily slip us into that when we say celebration. But it's not tough celebration, fast. Eat only very little like he used to eat. Only eat very small, no, only eat certain foods that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to eat. We don't fall and we don't go for those hard love. We go for soft love. So soft love means what? We will bake cakes and we'll slice them and we'll eat them. Yummy, yummy. Yes? Nice. Soft love. Entertaining. Okay. This is the way we, it's important that we draw a fine line, which is what is really good in this month or in any month to motivate the love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to be honest with you, even Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam in his life, he did not like soft love. He didn't really endorse soft love. For example, one day he was making wuzu. And whilst he was making wuzu and all the water that was dripping from his limbs, this was being gathered and collected by the Sahaba around. And they were rubbing the water on their bodies. Whoever got anything little and he was applying on his body as perfume. And why not? A great thing, fantastic thing. First of all, wuzu, water of wuzu, and from who? So the limbs are pak and pure. And then the water has been used for wudu by him. So definitely more expensive than even the most expensive perfume. So he said, what made you do this? He asked the Sahaba, why are you doing this for? He goes, out of love for you. Then he says, whoever claims to love for me, then he should be good to his his neighbors. He should look after the trust entrusted to him. Whenever he speaks, he should speak the truth. Wow. This is him. He's not there, just sat there. He loves to see this, right, okay. People prostrating to him. You're massaging him, right, okay. It's not that he's loving it. He doesn't love self-glory. He doesn't like self-glory. And immediately he's rectifying. He's rectifying. Although there is no doubt there is blessings in his tabarruk and everything that is appreciated. But he's trying to bring the ummah on the real mission. And he said, my true love is what? Not just this, what you are doing, but my true love is look after your neighbors. Speak the truth. Don't cheat. No fraud. No cheating. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. All right. So yes, this is what it is. Let's come to the real mission. Let's revive the real mission. Let's revive the real love. So what is real love now? For example, you could say, all right, this is the attire that he has promoted. Let us get that attire in place. This is the hairstyle that he's promoting. Let's get that hairstyle. This is the diet that he's promoting. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's promote that. You know, everybody loves those very lavish dastarkhans. Ji, lavish dining tables full of food. And you say that, yes, this is Milad, celebration of Milad. Ji, and you're just eating, overeating and eating and eating. Ji. Do you know what's the best Milad, Hamza? Is when you have a dining table and you have vinegar and you have cucumber and you have dates. Ji, simple things that they used to eat. And you just have them. Or you go for days without eating anything, without cooking anything. Because you've just eaten dry food. That's celebration. That's his lifestyle. Don't eat until you are hungry. And whenever you eat, don't eat to your fill. You know, that is his mission. Now, this is his mission. This is his lifestyle. This is his lifestyle. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all true love for our Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. May we live with his love. May we die together with his love. And may we be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah under his banner and under his leadership. Ameen, thumma ameen. Any question on this subject? Junaid, how are you going to celebrate Milad? Dates or kebabs, burger and chips. Any questions there? Bilal? Miladine? Who? Zain? Milad? Listen, at the end of the day, even those who celebrate, the intention is good. The intention is good. There is investment. But in Islam, it's not just about intention and investment. For example, you say, oh, I love Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All right, okay. And it's just out of love. Let me do sajda to him, to his grave. And you say, come on, he's only showing his love. What's wrong? He's only showing his love. No, there is even limits of showing love as well, because the moment you break that limit, you are undermining someone else. You are undermining Allah, because sajda is only for Allah. So you make sajda here, you are saying, I'm only showing my respect and my love for him. What am I doing? No, you are undermining here the status of Allah. So it's not just about emotions is enough. Otherwise, people can do, you know, more stupid things if we leave it with the people to decide whatever they want to do for our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam out of love for him. Then we would have some crazy things done for him. Because yes, he's of that caliber. He has that grand status. Anyone after Allah, that's him. So yes, there is a very fine line to be drawn. This is why he said before, very only days before he departed from this world, do not make my graves a masjid. In other words, where people come in and prostrate and have urs and do amal shirkiya. So this correct understanding, you know, of deen and practicing correct deen, this is so important. Alhamdulillah, now that we're here in this country and there is a lot of knowledge and there is diversity and now we are with the Arabs and with other people, learned people, alhamdulillah, things are getting better. But if you go to some remote places in our country, then it's absolutely unbelievable. The things that I see online on YouTube, what people do in the name of urs and so on, and it's far too ignorant. Intentions are very good, heavy investment, but not in the right direction, not in the right channel. Any questions before I go on to our own death subject? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. One of the things we mentioned the other day, that janaza should be carried out as soon as possible without delay. And this is true. And I explain all the wise reasons and respectable and honorable reasons behind this concept and philosophy. There is a hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, and wallah, these things they really impress me so much, and they would impress any person. He alayhi salatu wa salam, addressing his son-in-law and his cousin brother Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Ali, thalathun la tuakhirha. They are three events, they are three occasions, they are three times, you don't delay them. As-salatu idha anat. When time of salat enters, do not delay your salat. And he said, wal janazatu idha hadarat. And when janaza is ready, don't delay. Wal ayyimu idha wujidat laha kufuan, aw kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when a young lady, unmarried lady, a compatible partner is found for her, a compatible partner is found for her, then don't delay her marriage. All three things, if you look at it right, they're full of wisdom. Salat, do you know what? Salat, if you don't read it in its beginning time, yes, you are allowed to delay it if there is jamaat taking place. Then of course you wait until you catch your jamaat. Otherwise, if you are traveling, or if women are reading salat in their own time at home by themselves, then yes, beginning time is always encouraged. So yes, and even you see that if you miss that first slot, and as time continues to pass by and tick away, then you become more and more lazy of reading salat. More and more lazy now. More and more lazy. It becomes more and more difficult now. Now when you'll read it, you'll only half read it, where you will rush with your salat in the last few minutes. It could lead to that. Is that right, Ismail? Has it happened to you? Quite often, doesn't it? So yes, look at the hikmat in this. Understanding the psychology of a person, the way his mentality works and his physical body works, the philosopher has said, salat time enters, make your salat. Wal janazatu idha hadarat, and whenever the funeral is, the janaza is ready, then immediately dispatch them. Again, why? From his perspective, maybe he wants to rush to his destination. He doesn't want to stay here for too long now. He's already stayed, he's already suffered for too long, and he wants to reach to his good destination. So why are you holding him back against his wish? At the end of the day, it's his janaza. Why are you holding him back? So from his perspective, yes, rush him because that's what he wants. And if it's an evil man, like I discussed the other week, if it's an evil man, then why do you want to withhold a liability for too long unnecessarily and overburden yourself? It's not an asset to keep him behind, to withhold him. So in your interest, it's better if you get rid of him. So yes, he said, quick janaza. And number three, when a lady, for whom a compatible partner is found. For this lady you found Bilal, for this lady you found Junaid. Very quickly. Many congratulations to Bilal, he got married this Saturday. And I get really happy when more and more young people are, alhamdulillah, getting on this track of marriage. We are very, very impatiently waiting for Abbas. Abbas? Ji? For a handsome man like you, you can't pull a good one? And yes, so if a compatible partner is found for her and you delay, wallah, this will open many doors of fitna. All the evil in the society that we see, which was not existent before, was a girl was 14, 15, she would be married off. This was the case in African countries, this was the case in Asian countries, and this was the case also in Arab countries. Why? Under this ruling of Nabi alayhi salam, wherever Islam had spread, this was the criteria. A woman, she reaches the age of puberty, 14, 15, she should be married off. In many places, it would be much more earlier than that as well. And this is why our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam got married to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu when she was only in her tender age. Why? Because that was quite common. In Arab culture, it was even further common. There was no hesitation. There was no like considering or yes or no, or you know, which is hard to understand because times have changed so much that now such a person will be regarded as na'udhu billah as a pedophile. So today the fitna is because only the marriage of girls and women are getting more and more delayed. Otherwise, wallahi, if a woman got married at a right age, you will never see fitna in her. You'll never see fitna in her. But she will bring a big fitna, a very big fitna, if she doesn't sort herself out at the right age. Brings big fitna to men for herself. Hamza true? Hamza doesn't know. Hamza alayhi salam. However, saying this, of course, there's always exemptions. So if, for example, there is a valid reason for delaying. For example, it's a criminal case and requires investigation and inquiry. Then, of course, we will have to wait. Our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who passed away during some sort of chash time, 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, wallahu alam, during that time, during the hours of the morning. But he alayhi salatu wasalam was only bid farewell to on Wednesday night. On Wednesday night. Why? Because the Sahaba didn't want to bid him farewell without first of all electing Amir in the place of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Because as soon as he would have been buried, there would have been otherwise a very, very big fitna. So within those 3 days, whilst everything is still emotional, to take control of the situation immediately on the third day, there needs to be somebody there. And this took a couple of days. And hence, because of this need, his funeral was delayed. However, unnecessarily delays must be avoided, especially if those delays are only for the reasons that you want to transport the body from one country to the other. Delayance for this subject is totally what you call unfounded and unacceptable. Why? Because in order to transfer the body to the next, into another country, the whole body needs to be embalmed. You know, not embalming mean. Embalming means like you flood the whole body with chemical alcohols. So he doesn't like rot away and decay away instantly as preservatives. So he's actually flooded with alcohol. Isi tarah hai nadi? And yes, so is that what you want? Just because you want to be buried in Pakistan, why? What's the difference? I don't think so. There is much difference. I think you would rather go here to Shire Green. So this is unnecessarily delayance, especially if the process is unacceptable. It's not haram. We will say that it's haram. But yes, definitely makruh, definitely undesirable, highly discouraged. A practice highly discouraged, especially if it involves squandering thousands of pounds, because it's not that only one person will go with them, there will be a good 40 people going with him. So now 40, and again tickets on that occasion, knowing, so inshallah, our own agents, mashallah, will make the best good advantage of the occasion. So the ticket will be £1,000 as well, £40,000 you end up, right, wasting and only delaying, right, and causing inconvenience to him, which he would have never preferred if he knew of this beforehand. Now here comes mind, Sharia. And if you don't have your own mind, this is where we go wrong, boys. When we don't have our own mind, which many times it doesn't work, just follow the Sharia. You don't have to use your brains. Don't, if you don't have any. The Sharia, this is where the Sharia is there for. This is where the Sharia is there for. You don't always have to find your own brain. Sometimes people fail. And we see in today's society how legislations, wrong, pervert legislation are being passed and resolved. LGBT and the rest. Why? Because a human being and human brain is not good enough. It's under influence of nafs and shaitan. Therefore, you can never rely on it. So the only thing you rely on, very pak people like Anbiya, whom Allah kept them and made them pak. You only rely on the book of Allah, which is La Yamassuhu Illa Al-Mutahharoon. It's the pak book of Allah. So no delayance, unless if there is a valid reason. Any question there?
Obviously, they recommend, they tell their children that the body needs to go to Pakistan. So it's kind of a catch-22, you know, where children are just fulfilling the parents' wishes.
If a dying person leaves a will behind which is contrary to Sharia, such wills are not necessary for the subjects and for the children to respect. So you can go there against their will. It doesn't mean if today the man says that I would like you to turn me into ash and my ash to be scattered at Old Trafford Stadium and at Anfield. It's happened, Hassan, it's happened. I'm not saying about Muslim and I can't recall, but with the non-Muslims, yes. So what, do you now respect those wishes? No. Again, if parents, you know, they, for example, generally as well, the rule is, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There is no obedience and loyalty for any creation against the wish of the Creator. So yes, you listen to your parents. You obey them. You respect them, everything. But if they command you, don't go for Hajj. Don't pay zakat. Don't do fasting. Don't give charity. Don't do this. All right. And what they are commanding and instructing is against, contrary to what Allah is saying, then yes, you don't listen to them. So yes, you don't have to practice those wishes, unless if those wishes can be practiced without any inconvenience, without breaking the rules of Sharia. So for example, in this case, if it really means embalming, but do you know what? A lot of times, which I think Abdul Rahman should know, that although by law embalming is required, but we people, do you know what we do? We send the bodies without embalming, illegally. Did you know this? Yes. In other words, an embalming company will write a certificate and you just pay him money for writing the certificate, and he writes the certificate for you. So you've got this to show at the airport or wherever you need to show that yes, the body has been embalmed by so and so, Mr. Smith Company, embalming company. All right, and there you go. Anyhow, especially you have to make your parents understand, Abuji, you will be in Pakistan, we are here. Isn't it better that if you are here every so often, every Friday, every Thursday, we can go and visit you and pray for you? Rather than you being in Pakistan, where hardly anybody can come and see you or visit you. True? And I think these issues need to be discussed in lifetime. You know, without shying away. Farad, so speak to Mr. Yusuf Shah tonight. What do you mean? He'll eat, swallow you, Farad. Farad, you ready for that? Yes, I think it's okay, not at that age, but you see the parents are getting older, then yes, directly, indirectly, you bring in the subject, find out what their wishes are. If you feel that their wishes are not very practical, then you make them understand. May Allah give him long life, Hamza. Okay? Next, very important. Last week we discussed this very sensitive issue about whether you are allowed to participate a kafir funeral. There is a slight error that I have also made in the judgment and in what I have explained. So let me rectify myself, and because this was done in public whilst you were all there, it's important I rectify the situation a little. When I found you that you were quite interested and concerned about the subject, and you found it difficult to absorb what I was saying, then I went and I spent the night further getting into much more detail. What I have found out is slightly different than what I did say on the day. All schools of thought, Maliki, Shafi, Hanbali, Hanafi, and all the rest of the scholars, are all unanimous. If an individual has passed away without iman, then you are not allowed to read the Salatul Janazah. Number one, full stop. You are not allowed to make dua for him. Oh Allah, forgive him. You are not allowed to stand by his grave in a way to show respect directly to his grave and show respect like we would do for our own people. Everybody is unanimous on this issue. A debatable issue is what you guys were asking. And I said, well, even that issue is unanimous. What that issue is, which Abdul Rahman was asking, if you go and you're not really physically and practically doing this, you are taking a step back. You are participating because for any good reason. For example, he's your family member who has died as a kafir, but he's your family member. Like, of course, it happened many times in the time of Sahaba, because some were Muslims, other family members weren't. Or as a way of face-keeping exercise, to avoid embarrassment because of the social structure. Then Imam Malik and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, they still insist, no. They still insist, you are not allowed to. In other words, you are not allowed to attend the funeral. No matter in what capacity. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi and Imam Abu Hanifa also, they are of the opinion both, if it's for a wise reason, for an important, respectful reason, for example, face-keeping exercise, or because they are your very direct family member and you need to do it yourself, you need to carry out the funeral yourself. For those reasons, you may participate. Let's look at the issue in more detail now. Abdullah, everything about the whole issue. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he's a hypocrite and a very clear hypocrite, public hypocrite in Medina. Although Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not announce, but it was common knowledge. And he never announced who is and who isn't. He still allowed them to continue within the Muslim army and groups and salat and everything. Social structure still the same. Religious structure still the same, but he still allowed them. He passes away. His son, who was called also Abdullah, he was a very sincere Muslim. He said, "My father has passed away, O Prophet of Allah. I would like you to gift me for his coffin your own robe. Maybe with the blessings of your qamis and robe, he can be forgiven." Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah knows for what reason, it will only be either for his respect, who was a sincere sahabi, or simply for, because the way he was, his very kind nature, and he didn't read too much into the depth, and he said yes, and he took his robe off and he gave it to him. And Abdullah, this hypocrite, he was the biggest hypocrite. The biggest hypocrite in Medina. He was coffined and with the robe of Nabi alayhi salam. When it was time for janazah, the same son comes to him and he said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, I would like you to read his salatul janazah." So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ready now. And he said, "Allahu Akbar," and he's read his janazah. Before he was sitting, Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, don't read his salatul janazah. Allah says in the Quran, if you ask forgiveness for them, even 70 times Allah will not forgive them." Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I'll increase more than 70. You know, the way he's very compassionate nature. Anyway, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read salatul janazah. As soon as salatul janazah was over, this verse was revealed. Turn to page, I'll show you where it is. Page, page 279. Page 279, top of the page. Very quickly, time is short. وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا. Never read salat on any of them. وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا. Don't read salatul janazah for anyone of them who dies. وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ. And don't stand on their graves. Showing respect. Don't stand on their graves. إِنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. They belied Allah and they belied His Prophet. وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. And they died as transgressors, as rebels. This ayat was revealed. From then on, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never read Salatul Janazah for any non-Muslim. Because now there was explicit evidence now. So that you are not allowed, proven from the Quran. You are not allowed to make a dua istighfar for him. Just like you are allowed to make dua for your own parents and Muslims. Allahumma ghafir lahum warhamhum. Allahumma ghafir li jami'il mu'minina wal mu'minat. Allahumma ghafir li hayyina wa mayyitina. You are not allowed to make dua of istighfar for them. Where does that see in the Quran? If you turn to para 11, and if you turn to page 285, not too many pages away from the first verse that we just read. fourth line, page 285. مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. It is not appropriate for the Nabi and for those who believe, in other words, for the believers, أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ, that they should seek istighfar for the mushrikeen. وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى, even though if they are their own relatives. اگر رشتہ داری والے ہیں تب بھی نہیں. مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ, once the information of them being the dwellers of Jahannam has become apparent. Once it is verified and confirmed that they have died as kafir, then you are not allowed to make dua istighfar for them. So Quran has prohibited three things. Salatul janaza, not allowed. Don't stand on their graves showing respect. And number three, you don't make dua istighfar. These three things are prohibited from the Quran and all scholars are unanimous. What about the fact that if you don't do any of these three things, you don't read their Salatul Janaza, you don't stand showing respect to their graves, and you don't stand immediately in front of their graves, and you don't make istighfar, but for other political, social reasons, you are there. Then Imam Malik and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal are still of the opinion that you don't do these things as well, because these are also practices of showing respect to them. For example, their coffin is going, funeral is taking place, and you are walking with them. You are participating in the funeral. Participation is a gesture of respect. So they are of the opinion, no. And what is their evidence? Their evidence is when Abu Talib, Prophet's most beloved uncle, passed away, and Ali radiallahu anhu came to him telling him, O Prophet of Allah, your old deviated and gumrah uncle has passed away, about his own father. Ali radiallahu anhu says to Prophet sallam, that your uncle, the old uncle, deviated uncle, has passed away. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, warihi, hide him in the grave. In other words, bury him. You go and bury him. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not go and participate, even though most dearest, most nearest relative, he did not participate. He did not follow the funeral. He just asked Ali radiallahu anhu to carry out the rituals because somebody had to do it. So if you are in a situation where you have to do it because there is nobody else, then out of respect for human beings and to protect the environment, you are allowed to hide them in the ground. For example, even in the time of Badr, many kuffar were killed. So now there was an issue of who's going to bury them, because now the rest of them were taken as captives. The other one went, whatever they returned, whatever the situation. So now you were left with 70 bodies in Badr that they had to be disposed of. So yes, the Sahaba, they carried out this practice. And in a valley, they dug a big grave in the valley and they buried them. So if there is nobody else to do to carry out the rituals, then yes, you are allowed to do it. These ulamas like Imam Malik and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, they argue that in the time of Sahaba, lots of janaza were taking place of non-Muslims and there was a lot of rishtidariya. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never participated. There was no practice of the Sahaba participating in funerals. And any participation is regarded as an act of respect, so you don't participate. What about Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Shafi? They are of the opinion, unlike what I said last week. This is the little mistake I had made. Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Shafi, rahmatullahi alayhi, are of the opinion that if there is a political reason to promote Islam, to defend Islam, or to show your presence as a closer relative, then you are allowed to participate as long as you are not directly showing and displaying and demonstrating any act of respect to the body. So if you keep your distance, Anji, then that's fine. What is the evidence? They say the evidence is in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, there is this sahabi called Abu Wail. Abu Wail's mother passed away, who was a Christian lady. She passed away. So Abu Wail came to Umar radiallahu anhu. This was after the time of Nabi alayhi salam, and Umar radiallahu anhu was the Amirul Mu'mineen. He said, "Umar, my mother has passed away as a kafir, and she was a Christian. What do I do?" So he said, "Go and participate the janazah. But what you do, you know, generally we are recommended to walk behind the janazah, isn't it? To show respect. We have been encouraged to walk in Sharia, to walk behind the funeral, behind the janazah, to show respect. And you keep him ahead of you." So Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Walk ahead of her to show that you are not respecting the janazah. But yes, participate." And he said that don't generally we have been recommended to walk on our feet in janazah. And we are recommended that you shouldn't be riding on an animal, because this is to show respect to the Muslim funeral. Generally, Muslims are recommended to do that. Umar radiallahu anhu told Abu Wail that mount on an animal and stay at the front. So you're still participating, but you are not showing clearly, not demonstrating respect to the body. So Imam Abu Hanifa says, as long as you are not showing respect directly to the body, but you are within the funeral service, then that's fine. So is Imam Shafi, rahmatullahi alayh. He's of the same opinion. There is another occasion. Haris ibn Abi Rabia is a tabi. Haris ibn Abi Rabia is a tabi, in other words, from amongst the men after the Sahaba. But the Sahaba was still existent, some Sahaba. His mother passed away, who was a Christian. Haris ibn Rabia, who was a tabi'i, together with some Sahaba, they participate in the funeral of this lady. This is another evidence of Imam Shafi and Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. However, again in a nutshell, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal says, no, full stop, stay at home. Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi said, if you are a very close member of the family, who you have to do it yourself as well because you are so close to the family member, or as a face-keeping exercise for political reasons or for social reason, if you participate, as long as you are not showing the respect, then it is acceptable. Clear? Ji Abbas. No, he had to go Ali, because this is not a good evidence in favor of Imam Malik and Shafi, because somebody has to do it. Even Imam Malik and Ahmad ibn Hanbal says, if there is nobody to do it, then you have to do it. And this is why Prophet ﷺ told Ali to do it, because he is his direct son. And there are no other Muslim sons or anybody. There are no kafir sons. That's right. This is the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa and Shafi. Clear? Any questions before we complete? Today is the final session of our study circle. Next week, I hope you will excuse me, because on Thursday, the Thursday after the Wednesday, I'll be traveling, inshallah, as I have planned. And Allah is the best planner. And so next Wednesday, there will be no class until if Allah allows and I return, then inshallah, we shall resume the class. So today will serve as the final day of before I travel. Happy Farad. There is that. You are a bit confused. You'll be gone too. Okay, yes. Not with me though. Not with me. I understand that. MashaAllah, he's working hard. May Allah give him kamyabi. Chalo, Bilal.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آت محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة وبعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته إنك لا تخلف الميعاد رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا ورسولا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ومن أعرض عن ذكري فإن له معيشة ضنكا ونحشره يوم القيامة أعمى. قال رب لم حشرتني أعمى وقد كنت بصيرا. قال كذلك أتتك آياتنا فنسيتها وكذلك اليوم تنسى. وكذلك نجزي من أسرف ولم يؤمن بآيات ربه ولعذاب الآخرة أشد وأبقى. أفلم يهد لهم كم أهلكنا قبلهم من القرون يمشون في مساكنهم إن في ذلك لآيات لأولي النهى. ولولا كلمة سبقت من ربك لكان لزاما وأجل مسمى. فاصبر على ما يقولون وسبح بحمد ربك قبل طلوع الشمس وقبل غروبها. ومن آناء الليل فسبح وأطراف النهار لعلك ترضى. ولا تمدن عينيك إلى ما متعنا به أزواجا منهم زهرة الحياة الدنيا لنفتنهم فيه ورزق ربك خير وأبقى.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. وأمر أهلك بالصلاة واصطبر عليها، لا نسألك رزقا نحن نرزقك، والعاقبة للتقوى. وقالوا لولا يأتينا بآية من ربه، أولم تأتهم بينة ما في الصحف الأولى. ولو أنا أهلكناهم بعذاب من قبله لقالوا ربنا لولا أرسلت إلينا رسولا فنتبع آياتك من قبل أن نذل ونخزى قل كل متربص فتربصوا فستعلمون من أصحاب الصراط السوي ومن اهتدى.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Inshallah, during these early days of Rabiul Awwal and September, as days are still a little long, we shall be fasting on Mondays only. And inshallah, after a couple of weeks, once the days become much shorter, we'll be fasting for Thursdays and Mondays also. So our first fast from Masjid-e-Umar is being promoted for Monday. Of course, that does not mean that we're not allowed to fast for other days. You may do so.